Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
We weren't talking to the Hive there on that last piece of that imaging. But it is time for Bad Take Boulevard. Some people are already texting in a few. We'll get to those. 713-780-ESPN. If you ever want to report some bad takes, you can tweet blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Very top of this list, Sales Guy Q, who's one of our dudes. We love Sales Guy Q. He takes very good care of
us. He takes us to he takes us to Beaumont.
He takes very...
You know, somewhere in between.
We were having a conversation in our pre-show production meeting yesterday. A lot of times, Q likes to hang out with us during that time because he wants to listen to the genius that is the Killer Bees.
Wants to get smarter.
We were talking about food. I don't know why you were talking about this, Brendan. I think I actually walked in like mid-conversation. But long story short, Sales Guy Q says that he dipped his pizza rolls into ketchup.
And then he comes to me because he believes...
Well, you are a ketchup guy.
Yeah, I'm a ketchup guy, but I'm not an idiot, although some people might beg to differ. You don't put ketchup on pizza rolls because pizza rolls already have a tomato-based sauce involved in them, and it doesn't make any sense at all. And he was going to die on that hill. He believes in this.
I'm trying to think of how we got there.
Yeah, we're talking about dips.
I was
ranch,
thinking about
blue cheese, things like
with
that.
Dips fries is how it started.
That's right. Dips for fries.
And then he said, hot take, my favorite is ketchup. And we're like, that's not a hot take. That's like the most take ever.
Fries, yeah.
And then he went on to give the pizza rolls portion.
I think that was just like his gateway to get to that point.
Yeah, saying ketchup, you like ketchup on your fries is a hot take.
Ketchup on a lot more foods than most, but pizza rolls is definitely not one of them. It's not even in the realm of possible consideration.
I saw you putting ketchup on a baked potato, and I thought you were nuts.
Which one's weirder?
I still think that.
Baked potato or pizza roll?
Pizza rolls by far.
Yeah, I agree.
By far.
I don't even think it's close.
My rationale is very simple. Potato-based foods, French fries, even potato chips, that's also where you think I'm weird. But a baked potato is the basis for what comes to a French fry.
Both of those.
You can put ketchup on both.
Are far, far more reasonable than pizza rolls.
The OG says, doesn't Blankers put ketchup on steak? Do you do that?
I do not. I've always been, that was a misconception.
A little bit of dill
breaker. I have never, ever, ever said that I do. The only time I would even consider it was when I was small. And if you either ate what my mom made or you went to bed hungry. And so a lot of times, if it was like a pot roast or some kind of beef that wasn't made right, I'd drown it in ketchup.
Now, I do want to bring this up. While this was a terrible take, we did kind of find our way to the idea that pizza rolls in a marinara could be okay.
No question.
A spicy marinara especially.
But a marinara is very close to pizza sauce in a pizza roll.
Yeah.
So it's not...
They go hand in hand.
Hard to accept at all.
If I'm dipping pizza rolls, though, I don't mind dipping pizza rolls into ranch.
I
think that's very common, too.
I'm not a big ranch guy for those kind of dips, but I know you are with wings, so I could see how you would also consider it for pizza. I'm also a traditionalist when it comes to pizza-type-based foods, pizza rolls, pizza itself, things like that. I don't believe pineapple belongs on it. I don't believe that sauces belong on it. You already have that pizza sauce or that marinara sauce. You don't need it. You shouldn't eat anything else.
5619, is mayo on fries worse than pineapple on pizza? I would say yes. I hate mayo on fries. I don't love a Hawaiian pizza. My son loves Hawaiian pizza.
Really?
Loves Hawaiian pizza.
I'm not big on the Canadian bacon on pizza. No offense to the Canadians. I'm not big on pineapple on pizza ever. And I'm certainly not big on mayo on fries.
I don't love my fruit warm. Hot take.
I'm pretty much with you on that.
It needs to be room temperature or cold.
Hot apple pie is great.
That's not fruit. That's dessert.
That's a Brendan debate.
That's a different conversation. Brendan's dad has landed on Bad Take Boulevard for the first time in the history of Bad Take Boulevard.
Is he building?
Brendan, he told us, because he hung out with his dad in Dallas on Saturday, needed a flight back from that. And Brendan told us that his dad thought Aaron Judge was the rightful single-season home run king.
Now, I was able to walk him back on that.
Which I'm great, glad you did.
But
it was a bad take. Bad take. He's seventh on the all-time list.
Yeah, that annoys me more than the Yankee fans jumping all over this and the national media making this the story to end all stories. When you were the one tweeting it over and over again and everybody should have seen it, the fact that just because you had the most home runs in the American League doesn't win you anything other than a consolation trophy and a thanks for playing as it relates to the greatest home run seasons in history.
He was just on the side of all the cheater stuff, right? Like, oh, you shouldn't count the records of cheaters. It was his thing.
Yeah.
Well, didn't the Yankees cheat in a different way? Wasn't he part of it? Wasn't he on those teams? Did he have an iPad?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. 713-780-ESPN.
I never thought Rafael Palmeiro was guilty until he was.
Here's another bad take for Bad Take Boulevard. I've heard some, well, maybe one, say that the Houston Astros should sign Aaron Judge. Speaking of Aaron Judge, some of these rumors that Aaron Judge, $400 million, 10 years. People are saying that for a dude in his 30s. Aaron Judge coming off a career year, I would venture to say this would be the best year that Aaron Judge ever has. So you're going to pay him $40, $45 million a year for the next decade based on this 1 year that he ever had. If you think that the Houston Astros should sign Aaron Judge, you should be on the Mount Rushmore of Bad Take Boulevard.
Unless he's willing to give you a bargain, a bargain deal, and not try and break the bank and not try to go too long on the term, and he just wants to be, he wants to Kevin Durant it. He wants to, if you can't beat him, join him, and he wants to jump on board for a few years and a few rings. Then there's no way you should be thinking about Aaron Judge. He's going to be 31 by the time the contract ink dries. And it's going to be like a George Springer situation. This is his last, best, and only chance to get the massive bag of money and the amount of years to have security for lifetimes. He's not going to do what I just said, and he's definitely not going to be, because of that, a guy that the Astros would even bat an eye to consider. It's one thing to take a trade and a flyer on a Bryce Harper knowing he could hit free agency. You didn't have to give up all that money. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
But if you think you're talking about 8-year deal for Aaron Judge at 31, no, sir.
I'm here at 10-400.
No.
That's just stupid. How about the Yankees? Yankees landing on Bad Take Boulevard for this. We know that the Astros were up in the series 3-0. We know that only one time in Major League Baseball history has a team come back from 3-0. It was the Boston Red Sox against the New York Yankees. Yet Aaron Boone's rallying cry to the team was the Red Sox 3-0 come from behind triumphant over the New York Yankees. It's like, I don't even know what that's like. But that's a bad take is what it is from Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees.
Without question. And look, I mean, Aaron Boone has not had the easiest of jobs. If you look at him and what he looked like when he was doing ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and now look at him at the end of the season in this series, it looks like he was beat with a tired, old, and ugly stick all at the same time until he was beaten into submission with the bags under his eyes and the devil's eyebrows and everything that he's got going for him now that are negative. It's a stressful, tough job. You got to say whatever you can say to try and save face. Just ask Brian Cashman. But let's be real, man. I mean, that hatred and that rivalry, I think it goes deeper for longer than any Astros-Yankees rivalry, you know, that's getting started and rolling could ever come close to.
Let's get to a few bad takes on the HRMP listener line. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 5619, Papa should lead off with Yuli and drop Altuve in the lineup because Jose has been struggling. Hashtag bad take. Now, there have been some people that have talked about dropping Jose Altuve in the lineup. One of them is kind of a killer bee. Brendan behind the glass.
This is, I've been so unbelievably,
well, you've been getting killed on this.
So unbelievably misrepresented in this.
I don't know about that.
I went back after the show, Jeremy, and I looked at the question. Even the wording of my question was pretty clear that I wasn't saying he should be. The wording of my original question was, is Jose Altuve untouchable at leadoff, or would you consider moving him? I literally led with
what you fought for.
Yeah.
No.
You argued it.
I fought for was the idea that it was a reasonable question, which I don't know if you guys are aware, he broke the record for the longest start to a postseason hit list.
And they won every game.
And it's still not a reasonable question.
It was
and they
a won reasonable every question.
And it's still not a reasonable question.
And it wasn't
question.
A take.
You wanted him to bat sixth.
No.
You kind of did.
I was making the case for why it was a reasonable question, and I maintain it was a reasonable question.
I don't think it was a reasonable question. Keith from L.A. says, my Lakers a bad take right now. Looks like we're going to be going in the Victor sweepstakes. How about not only this year, but how about a bad take the last couple years
do they still,
for Showtime?
Do they have their number one pick this year?
No, they don't. That's a good call. I think it belongs to the Pelicans in the Anthony Davis trade. I don't think it's lottery protected either.
There you go.
I don't think that I need to confirm that, but I am almost 100% sure that their first round draft pick is not protected and it belongs to the New Orleans Pelicans as part of the Anthony Davis trade.
T, you're welcome. So you tune in and we love you for that, but then we burst all your bubbles. Astros burst the Dodgers and
man,
you can't even get the VW at the number one pick because I don't think you have it.
We might have just lost a listener.
Nah. He needs us for the voice of reason and reality so he can speak with a form of intelligence to his friends.
Darren in Nederland says, Rangers will sign Correa and Judge and win the World Series next year. Bad take. They've already signed two shortstops last offseason.
Yeah, there it is. Let's just make the entire lineup full of shortstops.
Yeah, they're going to have Correa at third.
Kiner Falefa might be available after having been there in the past, after a stint with the Yankees. Kiner Falefa can play what, right? Maybe center? I don't know. We can get all kinds of shortstops to play every position for the Rangers.
0195 says Blank and Boone were separated at birth. I don't know if that was a bad take or not. I don't understand what they're saying about that either.
I don't have the devil's eyebrows.
Is it because you look like Boone?
I think that's what he's inferring by.
Yeah, I don't see
implying.
It. More Ken Caminiti. If you're looking for a Major League Baseball third baseman, more Ken Caminiti. 713-780-ESPN. You ever have something you want to put on Bad Take Boulevard, just tweet Joel at Pac-Man Joel.
Would you put a whole lineup of shortstops together for the Rangers?
You probably could. I mean, you can make it happen. Correa plays third base. Find another one to play first. You can pull
the Tigers, for a minute, it was like all they drafted was shortstop.
Yeah.
And people
That's not uncommon.
Yeah, people were saying you could play them anywhere.
IKF used to catch, too, by the way. So, I mean, you could sign a shortstop to play first. You can sign IKF to catch, and you can literally have an infield full.
Aledmys Diaz can play so many different positions.
Put him
so
first.
Can Dubon. There's two guys they can put in there, too.
Correa at third, Seager at short, Simeon at second, Diaz at first, and IKF is your catcher.
Dubon is in center
full
field.
Full of shortstops. There you go.
There's another one.
And then move them wherever you want to go. Would you be satisfied with a split? First two games of the World Series, if it goes to Philly 1-1, would you be all right with that? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Marwin could be your video coordinator. Okay. Hey, before we do anything else sports related, let's talk about sports coming up this weekend. There's a football game tonight. Ravens and Buccaneers. It's a big weekend of college and pro football. We know the World Series is starting. Plenty of sporting events that you want to make more interesting by putting some money down on it. That's why you go to MyBookie, because they have all the sporting events all the time. Soccer, UFC, it's all part of what they do on a daily basis. It's a great time to be a sports fan. It's even better when you're betting on those games at mybookie.ag. Join the family today. Get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. And if you make the deposit between now and Halloween, you also claim 31 free spins in the MyBookie Casino. Another quick and easy way for you to win. Claim your bonus. Register today. Use the promo code, as we always tell you, bet975. MyBookie also has another new feature called Money Bag. Under the feature tab, you'll find a handful of bets that have crazy odds, like what inning will a home run be hit in a certain baseball game. You bet, get a random inning assigned to you, and if it's your inning that the home run is hit in, you win big. Check out the Money Bag and all the bets that can be made only at MyBookie.ag. Begin winning season today, right now. Get online. Get to MyBookie.ag. Put in that promo code BET975. Your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000, and then let the fun begin. More games, more opportunities to win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
If this series is 1-1, Friday, Saturday, you split the two at Minute Maid Park with Nola, JV going game one, Fromber, Wheeler going game two. Are you okay with a split heading to Philly? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Before we get Will in here, I'll get your thoughts on this, Blinkers. You go 1-1, Citizens Bank. Are you all right with that?
I'm all right with it. It's not ideal. Because of the fact that that's what happened with the Padres, and then the Phillies ran rampant at home, and you know, you never got a game back in San Diego. I think the Astros have a good enough team that they can survive a 1-1 split, and it's a 7-game series. It's a long series, so it's not over by any means if you split. It's just not ideal.
4187 says the mayor of Bad Take Boulevard at it again. Why would you be upset if the Astros were going to split with the Phillies? It's the World Series. Anything can happen. The question should be, what would Astros do if they lost the first two games? We haven't even answered the question yet. We haven't even talked about would a split be bad or not. There's some predictive thought there going on.
What an unreasonable question. What would the Astros do if they lost the first two games?
Yeah, they would go to Philly and play game three.
Has he been watching the postseason?
Hey, Jeremy, I know it's a little late for Bad Take Boulevard, man. But I know one guy that it would suggest if they lost the first two games and if it was anywhere near umpire related that they shouldn't even go to Philly. They should just quit.
Yeah, just throw in the towel.
Call it a series.
I've never got called out for making a bad take before I even gave my thought on it. I'll give it just a second.
You've made it.
I haven't yet.
You've made it big time. People are already anticipating it.
Yeah, I guess so. I've made it. I'm living rent-free in the mind of 4187, and I'm strutting all around. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Will in here. Will, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Will?
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with a 1-1 split. I think that if Altuve gets out of the ips he has right now with his bat, that 2-0 would be more likely. But, again, I'd still be okay with a 1-1 split. Thank you.
If they go 2-0, I'm over the moon. And, look, I want 2-0, but you should be totally fine with a split in the first two games. The Phillies have their dudes going up top, much like you have your dudes going up top too. But if you come out of the first two games, because a lot of times it's win the home games, right? Win the first two, you lose the ones in Philly, whatever, at least you get it back to Houston. If this series goes to Philadelphia at a game apiece, I'm all right with that. Because if you look ahead, what do you really want? You want to come back home with the series at 3-2 in your favor. Like, I'd rather come back home needing one as opposed to coming back home needing two, like the ALCS back in 2017, when the home team won every game in that series. I want this series to be 3-2 after five. So if you start to look ahead a little bit, a split in the first two games, even though they're at home, isn't the worst thing in the world.
The crux of the series, too, is we both said that the best chance the Phillies have are the two best pitchers that they have. After that, it should be huge advantage Astros.
Yeah, and if you, like, JV Frommer, give me one. Give me one between the two. Because if you start to look ahead to games 3, 4, and 5, Ranger Suarez, Phillies Thompson wasn't ready to announce his game 3 starter. It's going to be Suarez, yep, more than likely. Their game 4 is probably up in the air. They've used Falter. He was terrible against the Padres. They've used Syndergaard for a start, but they've also used him out of the bullpen. So game 4 is up in the air. It might even be a bullpen day for the Philadelphia Phillies. But if you look ahead to games 3, 4, and 5, we don't know what the Astros are going to do in game 3 yet either, or game 4. It'll be one of the two.
But if we assume
that it's Javier, if they just go Javier, but you could switch it up, sure. Suarez, Javier, game 3. Game 4, maybe Syndergaard, maybe Falter, maybe a bullpen day versus Lance McCullers. And then game 5 is going to be a rematch of game 1 between Nola and Verlander. If you go to Philly up a tied, one game apiece, I expect the Astros in those middle games, despite it being on the road with the pitching matchups that we just talked about, to take 2 of 3. So split the first two games, take 2 of 3 in Philly when you have the advantage, the bottom half of a 4-man rotation, and then bring it back to Houston up 3-2, needing a game at Minute Maid Park.
No question. I think that it's advantage Astros once you get past the top two in each rotation. So if you can get to 3, 4, and 5, you know, at least with a split, and that's the worst case scenario for any Astros fans to want to consider. I get it, but it's not that bad because of where the advantage lies in the series when you compare the two teams. Lineups are pretty evenly matched. We've heard everybody say that. But the main thing where the Astros have a huge advantage is their pitching, both in the bullpen and as starters, and that's where you take the advantage of it in 3, 4, and 5. Obviously, the fans are going to be a big deal. The worst thing the Phillies fans want is if you do somehow win the first two games, now you haven't lost yet, you have all the momentum in the world, you have that advantage with the pitching, and you're going into their place where they haven't experienced this. They've been rolling like they just steamrolled the Padres. It's a totally different reactionary environment. We saw it happen in Yankee Stadium. If you get an early lead then in game 3, now you run the risk, if you're Philly, of folding up your tents a little bit and doubt seeping in and maybe thinking about, you know, this isn't our year. Because we've also talked about the fact that from the two rosters, another advantage for the Astros is the amount of playoff experience on Houston's teams.
Uh-huh.
on Houston's team, both pitching and hitting, whereas you don't have many that have had this kind of experience for the Phillies.
3-3-1-1, if they split, we can win at home. Splitting's fine. Splitting will be perfectly fine. Now, if you start 2-0, I mean, get greedy, right? If
right.
you win game one, get greedy. No one's saying not. So no one's saying, you know, get that one in Houston.
And don't pad and just, the brakes or pull
yeah,
the emergency
no one's break. Saying that. But if you get a split in Houston, you're just fine because of what you have coming up in game three, game four, game five. Do you know that Houston has never won game one of the World Series? They have never won game one.
I don't know that I need
of the
to
World
hear that
Series.
From you, but okay.
No, I think it's one of the things, right? The law of averages. It's gonna even itself out. But can the Houston Astros win game one of a World Series for the first time ever? 0239. Need the weather to stay nice so there aren't any delays that allow Nola or Wheeler to pitch again. If like four of the games are going to be with the potential of a roof, so you don't have to worry about that. If I went ahead and pulled up the Philadelphia weather because I hadn't mm-hmm. looked at it yet, it looks fine in terms of moisture. Like Monday, there's some showers, but nothing really. And then the rest of the week's kind of chilly, but not, you know, not too bad, like in the 50s, but no rain. And then also you have the day off after game five. So like if anything happened, you push it back, you get rid of that off day. The series will not be extended. Game six isn't being pushed back. Game seven's not being pushed back. So I really don't see that as a concern. Where Nola, Wheeler all of a sudden going three times. Now Nola might pitch after game five in game seven after like a day's rest, 2 days rest, and give you like an inning out of the bullpen. But he's not starting there. Also, Rob Thompson also said, because he was asked the question, like, is there any chance you go with a three-man rotation with the idea Nolan gets game one, short rest game four, short rest game seven? Rob Thompson said, nope, it's going to be a four-man rotation. Didn't say game three, game four starter, wants to wait until after game one, game two, but he did say it will be a four-man rotation.
That's, again, when you get the advantage the Astros have, then you take advantage of it, and that's why there's no need to panic if you get a split, because of the fact that it's a long series. If this was a five-game series, you might be having a different discussion in terms of what needs to be done and if that could be a huge issue. But the fact is that I want to see them get to a standpoint where they're trying to search and figure out who's the best person for the job when you have plenty to choose from and all of them are experienced, established, you know, major, top average major league stuff, above average major league pitchers that you can choose from. I mean, and we're not even talking about guys that have come into the realm of possibilities for the Astros, but you've got guys like Garcia and even an Urquidy that I think the Phillies would love to have as their game three, game four starters.
Yeah.
That's how but big of a drop off it is.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of those middle games in Philadelphia to where you have the advantage there. You'd be just fine if the series leaves to Philly at a game apiece. Take two of three there, and then you have two chances to win one back in Houston. 713-780-ESPN. Can you live with a 1-1 split heading to the city of brotherly love? 713-780-3776. Also, Yankee fans are saying that the Astros, Yankee fans are saying this about the Astros, that they are the best run organization and it isn't close. Is that true? Where do the Yankees rank in all of sports? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All these Yankee fans are saying that the Astros are the best-run organization and it isn't close. I think that that's pretty clear. It's odd hearing Yankee fans say that because the Yankees thought that the 2022 matchup was going to be totally different. You know, 17, 19, they had taint on those two series, but they're gonna beat the Astros in 2022. So it's weird seeing Yankee fans saying that and asking you the question, where do the Astros rank in all of sports for best run organization? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What do you think of this this question, Blankers?
I mean, where the Astros rank is pretty high. You have to give – it's basically beauty in the eye of the beholder. From a national perspective, that's why I said I think that you're still trying to win over the national media that still have that inescapable obstacle that they can't get over. I think from a Yankees perspective, if we were talking about 2009, 2010 and looking back over the immediate history and then the long-term history, you have to put the Yankees – way up at the top because of the fact the team was performing well. We know the logo sells well nationwide. We know the value of the franchise is one of the top valued franchises in the world. A lot of things change, just like the Cowboys fall from grace.
How about the Astros, though? Like the Astros specifically?
I think the Astros have to be considered one of the top two teams in Major League Baseball in terms of their organization, the way that they put together their team, their ability to be sustainable, marketable, even in the most unmarketable situation. They have found a way to where they continue. Whether they make money nationwide and worldwide is a different story, but they're making money in Houston, and they're keeping their fan base. The fan base hasn't turned their back on them, and they continue to win. So I think they have to be in the top five for sure, but I would say in the top two in Major League Baseball, I would put them with the Dodgers.
I have them ahead of the Dodgers. I have them number one. There hasn't been a six-year span that's better.
The only
better.
Difference is the revenues. And,
yeah,
and,
I'm looking at more for productivity positive. On the field. Like, okay. I'm not really right. looking
I'm
at the
I'm just saying,
bottom
overall,
line.
From an organization, I also look at the business side. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it more from the productivity and the results and the pennants and things like
can,
that.
I don't think you can argue that there's any team that just put them at number two.
The six-year
performance
span.
Wise. Yeah.
If you look at the last 6 years, it's the Astros by a mile. I mean, one World Series, four World Series appearances. You've been to the ALCS six straight years. I have a hard time coming up with another team in sports over the last 6 years that I would put ahead of the Houston Astros. And a lot of credit to this goes to Jeff Luhnow. Like, Jeff, we talk about the Astros a lot, and it's weird that we're talking about there's potential that they could find another general manager for what has been a best 6 years run in all of Major League Baseball. Jeff Luhnow built a machine. He built a machine to where you just kind of have to make sure the machine is still firing on all cylinders. And so far, we've seen that James Click has allowed it to fire on all cylinders. I think that at some point, Crane's going to want to find somebody that can, like, maybe not rebuild the machine, but can operate the machine a little bit better. I think Luhnow gets the biggest praise for this machine that he's built.
He deserves it, and he should get the majority. He is the architect of the blueprint that has put forth the results that you've seen, and he should get credit. As you were saying that, I throw this back at you. It just popped into my head. Is there any scenario, any chance, any way? Because I've heard that there was still ongoing dialogue on a weekly basis once he was suspended by baseball and then fired. Is there any way, if you say they move on from Click, Luhnow is in the discussion?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't think that relationship's very good.
Okay.
Between Crane and Luhnow. And Luhnow sued the Astros.
They settled.
Sure. But he still sued them.
I think at the end of the day, Crane respects good business, too, and knows that he might not, again, much like he might not like Click for other reasons or they don't jive, he realizes when he was here and doing what he does best, he did a ton of good for what this franchise did then and is doing now. That's why I asked the question.
I think it's tops in baseball, one of the best in all of sports. I said that I'm having a tough time finding another sport or another team in any sport that matches or beats this six-year run, and 3008 brings up a really good one.
Warriors?
The Golden State Warriors in the last 6 years. Now, the Golden State Warriors in the last 6 years, they did have a couple of years where they didn't make the playoffs.
That was when they were decimated with injuries.
Sure, but it still counts.
Sure,
like, you're still looking at the productivity and the results of the last 6 years.
Well,
they've won two titles in the last 6 years. They went to the finals one other time, and then they missed the playoffs twice.
The previous dynasties weren't in this realm of time frame that you're talking about, but it was Patriots Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the Warriors are the only other team that would demand some mention.
And I'd probably still give the Warriors the edge over the Astros
for the titles,
yeah,
I think.
They've went to three, they've won two. Now, yep. They missed the playoffs twice, but I'll take two titles, three appearances over one title, six straight ALCSs. So I would put the Warriors ahead of the Astros. I think that's probably
now,
the only answer.
If they win it this year?
Well, I would jump the Astros over.
Okay.
Because now they both have two. The Astros have more appearances.
For so many reasons, this second one is so important.
Yeah. I mean, the Astros would jump Golden State last 6 years. Now, the Golden State Warriors little run that they've had is greater than the last 6 years. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Dr. Dre, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Doctor had to make a house call for you guys. Jeremy, to answer your question, it's real easy. You got to compare these the Yankees to the James Harden and the Tony Romos of the NBA and the NFL. They're great regular season players. They're dominant. They're out there killing it all season. And when the playoffs come, they choke like a lady of the night on Friday night. And I'm out.
Ouch. Can you say that on the radio,
well,
Brennan?
He just did.
He said it. He said it.
Better him than us.
I think it's a good comp. Maybe not the lady. But like Harden, Yankees, all of those. Because that's where the Yankees are. And the Yankees are like in their feelings about the Astros. And it's like Jeff Passan asterisk talked about this after the series too. Where they didn't get beat by the Astros.
It.
They got beaten down
by the
Astros. Yeah,
he wrote about it. Mike Lupica, the longtime New York columnist and sports writer, basically giving the Astros all the flowers you could ever ask for in terms of, it's one thing to give them their props about what they've done. It's another thing to say they are head and shoulders a better organization than the New York Yankees. That's saying something. That's impactful coming from him in that market.
It's a little surprising. Like, I think if it was the older Steinbrenner, George Steinbrenner, probably would have had a little bit of upheaval in the front office, maybe
ego,
in the manager
bravado,
seat.
And let's show you who's boss kind of
yeah,
thing.
I'm not sure Crashman would have been around. Boone, maybe, but not so much Crashman.
Agreed.
It is kind of interesting that they keep both of those guys when the Yankees, I think, are like in this state of, we got to get way better. But I think that's going to come in a little bit of spinning.
I'll tell you what, though. I think if the older Steinbrenner was, Boone wouldn't have been safe. Because we saw what he did with Billy Martin. Billy Martin was his go-to, solve-all, fill-in, substitute teacher that could also be long-term guy that he went to multiple times. I could see him using like a Joe Girardi type in that regard if he was still alive and going, well, we'll just call Joe. Joe will solve it for now. And if he does a great job, we'll keep him. And if not, we'll look for a younger, better version of Joe.
I think old George Steinbrenner would have done that. They need Larry David to go in there and start voicing it all. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I think one thing when you look at this run that the Astros have been on, I know we called it the golden era of Houston Astro baseball, I think they're the like a perfect example, and I'm not sure you can do this in other sports. Football, probably. NBA, you don't need to do it as much. NBA is more about like a collection of elite talent, and then you fill in the holes with role players, things like that. The Astros have built this machine, they've sustained this machine, and they've done it with great players leaving. Gerrit Cole left. Carlos Correa left. George Springer left. They didn't have Justin Verlander for the last two postseasons because of the injury. Lance McCullers wasn't around for a couple of them as well. To me, whenever you look, I think you can use this as football like analogy as well, but also in baseball, it's more about the full team, not having holes. Because when you look at this year's version of the Houston Astros, there's really not a weakness. The bullpen, best ERA in all of baseball, the rotation. You trust probably even more than four dudes to go out and win you a baseball game. The offense is probably not the best offense that they've ever had, but it's top five in all of Major League Baseball. And there's still like not a hole that you look at with this team. They probably haven't had their most premier talent. Like you look at 19 when you had Cole Verlander up top. It's hard to beat that. You had MVPs all over the place. Probably not the most talented Houston Astro team, but the fact that they just have no weaknesses.
No, they don't. And this is the ultimate epitome of what a team is supposed to be. But this is built, not bought, too. This is where you can make the comparison to the Golden State Warriors, because the Yankees are bought. They're a bought team, that, and the Mets are trying to follow that same mold, and it hasn't worked out either. Where, you know, for the majority of the time that we've seen big-time baseball and the haves and the have-nots, it's always trying to buy the best team you can assemble and construct. And how many times has that worked out in recent years? Whereas just like the Golden State Warriors, they drafted Klay, they drafted Draymond, they drafted Steph. Sure, Kevin Durant wanted to go play for them, but at a certain point, to your point, which is where the NBA excels, you don't build, because if you have the right construction, they will come to you. They will get bought out by other teams, and when they have a choice, they're going to go jump on your bandwagon to try and win a title or do what Kevin Durant did. In baseball, it's different, and the best teams are constructed from within. Mm-hmm. And then when you need seasoning, as you call it, and going out to get a little help here or there to fill in the gaps, get better where you haven't within your own system, you do that, and you do it well. The Astros are the epitome of how a team is supposed to be run and how a team is supposed to have assembled the way they win.
713-780-ESPN, 5619 says DS is a hole, or DH, not DS. DH is a hole. I think that's fair. Like I don't think that the DH spot is like this world beater for the Houston Astros, but you are getting productivity.
But there's an internal solution that's possible.
What's that?
For the DH position?
Who are you referring to? You're referring to Vasquez? I'm curious to see the roster. We're going to know the rosters tomorrow. Like, the rosters will be out at some point tomorrow. Maybe we'll see leaks of it or whatever. The Astros are having their World Series media day right now. So you have,
they had a workout, I think, this morning.
Had the workout this morning. They're doing the media day right now. I just saw a picture of Yuli Gurriel. He was being met with the media. And there's like all – there's Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, and Jose Urquidy like asking him questions.
Great.
They're part of the media.
But that, again, shows you the togetherness. Questions. I mean, what other teams are you seeing that guy? Look, Vasquez is a guy that joined late in the season. Look at how, whether he stays another year or not, or, you know, he goes elsewhere after this year. The fact that you can come to a team like this, being the kind of guy with the skill set and the reputation that you had, being a starting frontline catcher,
yeah,
and not just, demand to start and get playing time, but just to fit in and feel so comfortable, That's what, again, it's another feather in the cap of the organization, the locker room, the team.
It was Neris, Javier Montero, and Bracamonte. I thought Bracamonte was Christian Vasquez for a second, which is a compliment to him. 713-780-ESPN, the HR&B listener line, 713-780-3776. The prices of World Series tickets are skyrocketing, especially in one of the two cities. A little higher in Philly than in Houston. What's the most you would spend? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Turn down for what?
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Fox just sent out a little bit of a tweet. Of course, the World Series on Fox. With his Game 1 start tomorrow night, Justin Verlander will join Roger Clemens. You can hear right here on these airwaves every morning after the Astros play on the during the week, Monday through Friday. JV is going to join Clemens as the only two pitchers with a World Series start in three different decades.
It's impressive.
That's insane.
From a longevity standpoint, that is saying a whole hell of a lot.
Three different decades, and you make a start in the World Series. That's, I mean, good company, too. JV, Roger Clemens, couple of the best in their very own generation. We're asking the question, asking you, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Some of these secondary ticket market prices for the Astros and Phillies World Series games are astronomical, pardon the pun. For the Astros, $1,500 average cost for a ticket in Houston. I got the pre-sale thing, too, and I was trying my best to get Astro tickets and didn't get fortunate enough to pick any of them up. Now, I would have sold them. But $1,500 is the average cost in Houston. In Philly, it's $3,200 for the average ticket cost to go to a World Series game 3, 4, or 5 in Philadelphia.
Is that based on repetition and the fact that it's been so long for the Phillies to have even sniffed it, whereas probably this golden age of Astros baseball, it kind of changes people. If you bend to one, then you don't have the urgency to get to another, and you know how good your team is, as opposed to Philly getting in as the last wild card and realizing it's been over 10 years since they've been there and everybody has to be at a game.
I think that plays into it. Like, we remember when the Braves were going to the division series after division series after division series, and like by the time they're on like their 28th division series, they're pulling like 25,000 at games. I think that does play into it because you don't have the opportunity to do it as often.
You get spoiled. It's like Rockets and Warriors, right? At a certain point, it was supposed to be the Rockets and the Warriors, and no one cared about the opening two series getting you to the Western Conference Finals to get Rockets Warriors. So if it was Rockets and T-Wolves or Rockets and whoever, people were like, I can save my money for that. What I really want to see is Rockets Warriors.
Now, this is the World Series. So, like, this is the pinnacle. This is the ultimate. This is the final series. Now, the $1,500 is still very high. That's still marked up very high over the face value. $3,200 is higher. But what is the most that you would spend to go to the World Series? What is the most you'd spend on tickets? 713-780-ESPN. What's that answer for you?
I mean, I've been lucky enough that I didn't have to for everything that I've wanted to be able to see in my lifetime for the most part. I just think that it depends on, like, if the Packers were playing, and I've seen the Packers in Super Bowls, but if the Packers were playing in a Super Bowl, I think you have to be willing to pay. Face value right now for Super Bowl tickets, like even in the upper levels, is $1,000.
That's not so bad. I would pay $1,000 for a Super Bowl ticket to see my team.
So I think that's where it starts. But I think then when you factor in, unless you're somehow able to get into getting them for face value, whether you know someone with a team or a sponsor, then you're looking at triple that minimum. I think you're looking at $3,500 minimum starting just to get in the door.
I didn't have credentials to 17. I didn't go to a World Series game in 17. I went to Game 7 of the ALCS on my own dime. 2019, I was credentialed to go to the World Series, and I went to Game 1, 2, 6, and 7, all losses, for the Houston Astros.
Stay away.
I'm not going to go. Well, I mean, there's a lot of other things that are preventing me from going.
Sure.
Like, a Branham baby at home makes it very difficult to go. I make sure that he's watching, too. Like, I took a picture the other day of him watching the Astros in this.
Brendan, but that's something you look back on and say, see, Dad made me an Astros fan.
Absolutely. It's cool. I think
don't think
for me,
this will be why.
Okay.
I think for me, it's 1,000. I think that's how much I'd be willing to spend.
What was the one you paid to go to?
The ALCS. That was only like a couple hundred.
Oh, okay.
And it was back when Branham's wife wasn't quite my wife yet, but her and I went to Game 7 of the ALCS 2017. I think for me, I'd probably go up to 1,000. I think I'd go up to 1,000 here. What would you do,
Brennan? Experience ticket buyer, tell us.
To see the Lions in the Super Bowl, I would take on lifelong debt.
Lifelong debt.
Anything aside from that, I think I'd have a hard time paying more than $1,000 for anything.
See, you become an Astro fan. You've lived in Houston for a while. You've adopted them. I think we've adopted you as an Astro guy. Like
We're still trying to adopt you as a Killer Bee, but you have to be here on a consistent basis.
Borderline, part-time Killer
Bee.
Right. So we've adopted you as that, but how much would you be willing to spend to go to an Astros World Series game?
So the first couple games, I don't know that I would be willing to pay anything crazy for, but if Game 6, Game 7...
You have a chance $300.
And I know that's nowhere near the number.
Yeah, you're not getting in.
Yeah,
you're
getting into
but I'm not paying that with a hell of a teams I grew up watching to get into a championship game. I went to some Pistons conference finals games, but we won like the lottery to pay face value for that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any team I'm paying more than I would say $500 is the most I would pay for any non Game 7 situation.
Game 7 has more...
Doesn't it mean something to say that you've been there for your team? Regardless of the game, I was at the World Series when the Astros played. I think that means something. Yeah,
I think even non-World Series games, you have that. Like the Chris Burke home run. Like people, I was there for the Chris Burke home run in the 18th inning, or the Jeff Kent, or going to Game 1 of the World Series for the first time in franchise history in 05, even though that didn't come out to a victory.
The Altuve buzzer beater?
The DS this year.
I was at that one.
Yeah, if you're at the Altuve buzzer beater, that's something that is a lifelong memory.
What'd you say, Brendan?
Even Game 1 of the DS this year. As you said, non-World Series.
Cool. Yeah,
that comeback, that moment.
Mm-hmm. If you were there for Yordan's bomb, absolutely.
Ocho
Either
says,
one of them.
I love baseball, but I wouldn't pay to watch it live. It's just too slow and has too much downtime for me to pay for. I think Ocho might be in the majority there. It's certainly not my opinion.
I don't feel the downtime in the postseason.
Every pitch matters. Every pitch is intense.
I feel it when I watch regular season baseball.
As a kid growing up, there's something about being able to say I was there and feel the impact of the crowd and everything. As an adult, when you realize how much more impactful all the different camera angles and all the different things that TV brings to it, it does change your opinion a bit.
Quite honestly, you're missing stuff if you're in the
ballpark. You are.
Now, the environment is the one reason that I would vouch to go for, or I'd push to go for. Like, you should experience that.
If you have it, you have to experience that one time.
Exactly. The electricity is worth going to at least once. That environment, it's lively. It's awesome. Like, that gives you goosebumps. But in terms of, like, taking in the game, you miss more when you're there.
You do. Like, if you don't have access, like, that's why everybody's always looking for where's the TVs. You look for whatever replay the Jumbotron is going to give you, or the arena scoreboards, but they can't give you nearly what TV's giving you from every angle on a replay or a reviewable situation to otherwise. That's why you, as a sports aficionado, at a certain point you go, I love the ability to say I've been there, and that feeling of being a part of that fan base that feels like they're part of the game. But you do miss something when you're not watching on TV.
I think going to a bar near the stadium is like the closest thing you can get.
Can't
where
be
you
too
get a little
close.
Bit of both.
But you
can't
also
be too
miss.
Close to the stadium.
Why?
Now you miss the audio, and you miss a lot of the other things that people bring to the stats and the things that they know that you don't, because most bars don't have the sound up real loud.
Well, I think if you're a bar worth their weight in gold for the World Series game, they're going to have good audio.
If you are at a bar that doesn't have the game up loud in the World Series, leave.
You'd never go back.
Leave.
And never go back. Now, you can't be too close to the arena, though, or the stadium in this case, because you can hear the roar. Like, if you can hear the roar, and it will spoil it for you. I can't do it.
I think it's kind of cool.
It. Absolutely
Plus
not.
Plus, if they win, you hear, get stuck
you,
in the
You hear a
nightmare.
Huge roar, and then 30 seconds later, you see a home run, or you hear, like, a huge bore or a huge
there
boo or whatever.
There is a seven-second or more delay.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I couldn't be close enough to hear the reaction of the stadium in that case.
I guess I don't – this might be weird. I don't mind – good moments being spoiled.
Oh, I do.
Oh my God.
I don't like knowing a couple seconds earlier that something bad is going to happen.
Oh, it sucks either way.
I would die on a hill for anti-spoiler takes. I hate spoilers with a passion.
If I hear a roar and then see the play, it almost in a way almost adds to it.
No chance.
Like I don't mind it if I like I'm on the phone with one of my buddies and we're watching a certain game and I'm ahead, cuz now I know I don't have to worry about it. But if I'm on the phone with one of my buddies and he's a couple of seconds ahead of me and also he goes, "Oh, in the middle of it. I'm like, okay, I can't. I just, whether it's good or bad, I can't know that it's coming before it,
but
the moment.
But that's not the same as the roar of a stadium. Yeah, it's annoying as hell when a singular friend spoils it. But when you can hear the roar of the home crowd, I don't think that's the same.
Cody just texted me, said, I'm going to start spoiling TV shows for you, just firing random TV show endings to you. If Cody ever comes up dead, you know who did it. I'm just saying. Well, you know who did it.
People would have accused you even before that could have happened.
Well, even especially now. Ocho says, I'd pay $100 for tonight's North Shore Atascocita game, though. Ocho loves his North Shore Mustangs.
He loves the high school football.
JT, I'd pay up to $1,000 for the Astros for a non-clinching World Series game and up to $2,000 if it's a potential World Series victory game. See, I get that. I understand ability. That matters. 9579, I've spent $8,000 on World Series tickets the last few years. They've lost every darn game.
Stay away.
The wife and I are going to Mexico week instead and watching there.
Good.
That's not a bad alternative.
Good.
Like, But if you know going in, like, I'm going to spend potentially up to $5,000 on watching the Astros play in the Fall Classic. What is a better way to spend that $5,000? Going to Mexico, getting an all-inclusive resort, and finding the biggest screen you can in Cancun? It's not a bad alternative.
No, especially if you've been through it before. If you've been to a World Series before during this run, and you know what it feels like to be a part of a raucous crowd that is supporting their team, and you say, well, what's my alternative? I mean, you always weigh your options, right? I could go back. We could do it again, and we could have a couple hours of enjoyment. That's have 48 hours or more of complete bliss while we take in the games anyway.
9579 is a smart man. For actual seats, I would say about $650. For SRO, I'm not going over the original 450. I don't think 450 was original. I think it was in the 200s. Taking a risk on bad view with SRO. I had my upper deck tickets lined up for, I think, like $350, and they were gone by the time I got to checkout.
What was the difference in face value between Philly and Houston for the World Series?
I don't know if there was any difference. I don't know the answer to that question.
Because I'm just wondering the ratio between what the going market was.
I would imagine it's the same.
Okay.
I would imagine it's the same. No Will House crosstalk today. They're over at the tailgate, which that's going to be a lot of fun a little bit later. So we won't have a night. We don't have a chance to say what's coming up on their show. So whenever we don't have that chance, I ask Blankers, what's coming up on the Will House today?
Well, there's going to be football. And then after that, we're going to talk a little Texans. And then after we talk Texans, we're going to have a couple of prognosticators to tell you the best odds for the best football games. And then if we have any time, we're going to go around the league and we're going to talk football. And then we're going to talk the Astros World Series.
Maybe AC will break down some Rockets.
No, he needs to break down that warm-up jacket he's wearing right now and the fact that as long as he's breaking a sweat and feeling better, that's all we care about.
I saw Kate Upton wear that same thing the other day. All right, it's going to do it for us. You'll want to be making sure you're listening to the Will House. Thanks to Brendan for doing all of the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Come out to Beaumont tomorrow. Hang out with us in the Will House. The Will House is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.